And I want you to notice, if you would please, verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In verse number 6 it says, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we ask and pray that you'd help us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize the importance of this passage of Scripture, and the change that you wrought in the life of a man who was religious but lost, a man who had committed murder in the name of religion, a man that was deceived, but now, Lord, you showed him light. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless in a great way. Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. Save those that are lost, and Lord, I pray that you'd renew those that are saved. Revive us unto thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The song that we sung earlier in the service, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me, was written by John Newton. John Newton, at a very young age, left home. He was a vagrant on the streets of London, England. And at 11 years old, he joined a ship that was a slave trading ship. And he served as the captain's helper. And later, through the years, worked himself through the ranks of the ship and finally became a captain of a slave trading vessel. And they would go to Africa, round up slaves, and ship them to England, where they would go ahead and be dispersed around the world as slaves. One day, John Newton was on the sea and a fierce storm arose. And they didn't know if they were going to make it through. He went to his quarters and he began to read. And trying to read, and he was actually reading this book by named The Tempest, I believe, by Campus was the name of the book, I think. Anyway, he ended up reading, and he fell under great conviction. And that night in the middle of the storm, he got saved. When he got saved, he realized that human trafficking was wrong. By the way, it still is. Having slaves was wrong. And he realized that. He quit his occupation and he began to preach. And actually preached for several decades before his life ended there in Oney, England. God did a great work in his life. In years past, biblical salvation marked a great change in a person's life. The drunkard would quit drinking. Those that were living impure lives cleaned their lives up. Those who gambled and those who lived in the world and those who did all kinds of promiscuous things, they quit those things when God did a work in their life. You realize that when Billy Sunday came to town, every bar would end up shutting down because of lack of business, because he would preach and souls would get
saved, and no longer would they do the things that they used to do. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. He was a changed man. All through the Bible, you find where people were changed when they came into contact with Jesus Christ. The maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5, we find that he was in the tombs. He was living there. He was naked. He was a raving lunatic. He was fierce. He would fight with anybody that came along. But when Jesus came by and Jesus called to him, the Bible says that he was clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. What happened? He met Jesus and there was a change. We think of the woman at the well in John chapter number 2, verse number 28 and 29. There was a change that took place in her life, all because she met Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13, Peter and John, the Bible refers to them, and the people around said, these are unlearned and ignorant men, but they took marvel because they had been with Jesus. All of a sudden, their whole demeanor had changed. Why? Because they met the Savior. I think of individuals like John Newton. I think of individuals like Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a baseball player, played for Major League Baseball. And when he got saved, he left a life of debauchery and a life of professional sports to go ahead and start serving the Lord full time. I remember a man by the name of Dr. Carl Hatch. Dr. Carl Hatch was a drunkard on the streets of Detroit, Michigan. And I remember talking with him and hearing him give his testimony. How that one day he was leaving a bar, walking down the streets of Detroit, and he ended up staggering and he fell drunk into a snowdrift, and a snowplow came by and buried him. And if you ever met Dr. Carl Hatch, as soon as he got done preaching, he would put his overcoat on in the middle of the summertime because he was always cold. Dr. Carl Hatch said, I almost died in that snowdrift. And somebody came and they saw, I think it was an arm hanging out of a snowdrift, and they came and undug him and brought him out and warmed him up, and he survived and he gave his life to Christ. And Dr. Carl Hatch was a tremendous preacher of the Bible. And the Bible talks about, his history talks about how that his life was changed. I remember when I was first saved at Trinity Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio, they had an evangelist in by the name of Dr. Jerry Johnston. And Jerry Johnston, was a very tall, thin fella. But he gave his testimony, and Jerry Johnston was heavily, heavily in drugs. And matter of fact, he was so wrapped up in drugs, his drug buddies were fearful that he was going to lose his life. And so there was a local Baptist church that was having revival meetings. And Jerry, he said the first night that he went, he was stoned out of his mind. But his friends came and they dropped him off and they put him in the back pew and they said, Jerry, you need to stay here. And he just kind of sat there in a daze as the service went on. When the service was over, they picked him up and took him back home. They were afraid that he was going to die if he took another dose of drugs. The next night, the revival took place, and they brought him back. This time, he was sober. And they said, Jerry, you need to come here because that's the only hope you've got. And he came, and he heard. And he came back the next night, and he heard. And I think it was the following night, if I remember the story correctly, the invitation was given after the preaching of the gospel took place, and Jerry Johnston, at about 6'3" and 120 pounds, his body wasted away with drugs, walked down the aisle and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I'm here to tell you, when you accept the Lord as your Savior and you really get it, it's going to make a change in your life. Amen? But today, there's a different story. Mankind desires a smorgasbord religion. They want to choose what they want to believe and leave the rest behind. Today, man wants God with no demands. They want to end up having heaven without any restraints, freedom without any price, and they want God's blessings in their life without ever having to deal with sin. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, made this statement. He said, there is coming a day when there will be a religion without repentance, a salvation without the Holy Ghost, and a heaven without hell. My friends, we are there today. We are there today. 38 years ago, almost 38 years ago, the Lord saved me. And the Lord knows I have not been perfect. And y'all know that too. But I do know one thing, God's been working in my life. And every day God continues to work in my life, and God is molding me and God is changing me, Lord willing, into His image. I really believe that biblical salvation produces a change in someone's life. If you claim to be saved and there is no change in you, you better check your salvation out. If you can live any way you want to, and you can still go out and drink and drug and gamble and all of those things, listen to me, you better check out your salvation, because God is in the business of changing people's lives. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, or 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Listen, when you got saved, all of a sudden, that as soon as you accepted Christ as your Savior, God made you a new creation, made you all over again. You were born into God's family, John chapter number 3. You were adopted into God's family, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 15. There is a change that took place. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Hey, can you say that this morning? Has there been a wonderful change in your life since Jesus came into your heart? You know, when I got saved, I remember that night that I walked out. It seemed like the air was a little fresher. It seemed like the sky and the stars were a little bit brighter. All of a sudden, things looked different to me. And even though I struggled with some vices, it wasn't long where God gave me victory. And I'm here to tell you today, when you get saved, God will go ahead and put joy in your life. He'll put a happiness and a song in your heart. The Bible tells us that God is in the changing business. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 15, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what makes the difference. Has God changed your life? We used to, at camp, we used to sing a song with the teenagers. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Hey, teens, remember that song? Remember that song? We used to sing that, and then we used to go back and forth. There's been a great, great change since I've been born again. Listen, when we get saved, all of a sudden there's a change that comes into our life. The Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was no different. When he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, a change took place in his life. And this morning, I want you to notice with me for a few minutes the change that really took place. And I want you to ask in your own heart, since I've been saved, has God made a change in my life? And I want you to notice the change that took place in Saul of Tarsus's heart. Later, we know him as the Apostle Paul. First of all, look at Acts chapter 9, look at verse 6. You know, we're living in a day and an age that Christianity and churches, they have this philosophy. Come as you are, leave as you came. I hope and pray every time you walk into Grace Baptist Church that God does not only do something for you, but I hope He does something to you. Amen. I hope that He works on you and molds you and fashions you after the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice what it says in verse number 6. After he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and the Lord struck him down with His bright light, and he says, "Who is it, Lord?" And then the Lord tells him, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Then verse number 6, trembling, astonishment. There's a good reason why he was trembling. There was a good reason why he was astonished. As far as he knew, Jesus was dead. It's very probable that Saul of Tarsus, being at this point in time in history, was there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's very possible that Saul of Tarsus could have been among the crowd that said, "Crucify him." It's very possible that he could have been among the elders that wagged their heads at Jesus and said, he delivered others, himself he cannot deliver. You know, he could have been there at the cross. He could have been there and saw the empty tomb. I personally believe that he could have met Jesus Christ. I believe that this man very possibly could have been that rich young ruler that Jesus talked to. We have no indication. There's nothing in the Bible that says that was Saul of Tarsus. But you know what? I kind of think maybe it was. When I get to heaven, we'll ask the question. But I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord." Now there's not a question mark behind it. Up in the previous verse, when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Notice what it says there. It says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And there's a question mark behind it. He didn't know who it was. He didn't know what was happening to him. But in the next verse, he says, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" Period. Period. In other words, he is making a statement of fact. Before, he was questioning who the Lord was, but after Jesus revealed himself to him, all of a sudden now he is declaring the fact, yes, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think he was probably singing that song on the road to Damascus. Maybe he's the one that wrote it. I don't know. But I want you to notice, first of all, the change that took place in Saul of Tarsus' heart. He had a change of heart. Number one. A change of heart. It was manifested by Saul calling Jesus Lord. In Luke chapter number 6, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You see, this was manifested by Saul obeying the Lord. He said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And in verse number 6 through verse number 8, the Lord said, "Arise and go into a city." And we find here he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. You cannot truly say, "I love the Lord," and not be willing to submit to Him as Lord. Because if you say, "Oh, I love the Lord," and you live for yourself instead of living for God, you're a liar. It's just that simple. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. "Oh, I love the Lord," and you buy your next six-pack. "Oh, I love the Lord," and you take your next hit a dope. Oh, I love the Lord. As you're sitting there listening to your rock and roll music, Highway to Hell. I don't understand that a bit. How in the world can a Christian listen to that type of music? I'm on a highway to hell. How many of you heard that song before? Oh, look at the hands. I hope you're not listening to it. Sometimes you can't help but hear that stuff. You walk into a store or walk into some place. If that's on your playlist, delete it. Amen? Years ago, there was a group that had a song out called Hotel California. And it's even after all of these years, people still listen to that. You know that song, if you do a study of that song, and if you get the album cover, the inside on that album cover, there's a man standing up on the balcony of this old Spanish villa. And that man standing up in that balcony is Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey is the man that in 1969 wrote the Satanist Bible. And in that song it says, you can check in, but you cannot check out. You know what that song's really talking about? It's talking about going to a place called hell. And you know what the song does? It glamorizes it. I don't think a child of God ought to have it or listen to it. You know why? Because I've been changed. I want to have my mind absorb the right things. I want it to go ahead and sing the right type of songs. I want to have a mind that's after Jesus Christ. You see, you can say that you love God and you can say that you love the Lord, but Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" A person that loves the Lord is a person that is going to be willing to submit to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 3, it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." When you are willing to submit to the Lord, only then can you really call Him Lord. So number one, Saul of Tarsus had a changed heart. Number two, I want you to notice this. Look at verse number 17. We find that Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul, did exactly what the Lord called him to do, and he went and met a man by the name of Ananias, and Ananias ended up telling him the things that he had to do after that. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said," notice the next phrase, "Brother Saul." So not only did he have a changed heart, now he has a changed standing. When you get saved, you have not only a changed heart, God changes your standing before Him. Before I was saved, I was not one of His children. Before I was saved, I was not a brother to Pastor Milioni or Pastor Klein that was there at the church where I was at. I was not their brother. I was lost. I was not a part of the family of God. But when I got saved, I remember different people calling me Brother Rick. Boy, that seemed odd. Brother Rick, how are you doing today? Brother? What are you talking about? Brother. How about your brother? Oh, yes, I was. A brother in the Lord. And so we have a changed standing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've been made a new creature in Christ. In 1 John chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, "But as many as received Him," by the way, when you get saved, you receive Him. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And when you believe on His name and you personally receive Him, you become the sons of God, John 1:12. So we're born into God's family. We're made a part of the family of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 15. "Now all of a sudden I'm no longer warring with God, but now I have peace with God." Romans 5 and verse number 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, have you made peace with God? Or are you still fighting against him? You got peace? I hope so. And so he had a changed standing. And you know, when you have a changed heart and you have a changed standing before God, it's going to affect you. Now I have a changed outlook. I began to see things different. All of a sudden, the things that I wanted to do, I just didn't want to do them anymore. I mean, I had all kinds of ideas. Before I got saved, I wanted to make a lot of money, and I wanted to go ahead and be a tool and die maker, and I started down that path, and these are the things that I wanted to do, and I put all the wheels in motion so I could do that. And even after I got saved, I was still going down that road. My goal was to try to make as much money as I could. By the way, I started working in a factory when I was 16 years old. By the time I was ready to graduate high school, I was making more money than what my teachers were that were teaching me. But when I was 17 and a half years old, I tried to buy a house and the bank wouldn't loan me any money because I was 17. So I had to wait 6 months until I turned 18 and bought my own home. And I bought my own home. At the age of 20, I bought my second house. And at the age of 24, I think it was, no, I take that back. It was when I was 29, I bought my third home up here in Oak Harbor. I don't mess around. Try to get things done as quick as possible. But you know, I had a changed outlook when I got saved. And as God worked on my life, I realized it wasn't about making money in life. Listen, money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you rest. And it might buy you toys, but it won't buy you peace. And you can have the fastest car and the shiniest truck, and you can have all the fineries of life and all the fun things of life, but what are you going to have when you stand before God? Amen? It isn't going to make any difference at all. That's why Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. You realize the more stuff that you have, the more space you have to store it, and the more worry you have to have about who's going to break in and steal it or who's going to scratch it. Amen? You know, one of the biggest businesses in America today is U-Locket storage places. It is. It's a booming business. And you know why? Because people have just too much stuff. They go ahead and they buy and they rent out all these storage places. They even buy these pods just to set around so they can put more stuff in them. Listen, if you haven't used it in the last year and a half, just get rid of it. There are some people, and even Christians, who are professional pack rats. Now listen, if you're one of those people, don't raise your hand, all right? But we have to be careful. I was cleaning out my old office. I'm still in the process of cleaning out my old office, trying to get moved into my new office. And I'm thinking, do I really want to get rid of this? My wife helped me one day move some stuff over. There's some things I haven't found yet. And I think, honestly, I'll never find them again because she got rid of them. She's over there shaking her head no, but look, she's turning red. I know where some of that stuff ended up. I know. I'll never find them again. There was a guy one time gave me about 20 pairs of blue jeans. His dad passed away. They're the exact same size that I wore. Some of them had been worn once. Some of them were worn, and they were worn, but they were still in good shape. And so whenever I needed a pair of jeans, I'd go to my hidden stack, and I'd pull out a pair. It's like having my own Walmart in my own house, you know. I just went there, and here's a pair of jeans, Levi's, you know, and I'd pull out the pair of jeans, and I'd, these fit good. And one day I went to my stack, and my stack was gone. And I thought to myself, where in the world are my jeans? Lo and behold, my wife gave them away. The week after she gave them away, the guy that gave them to me, who I was working with in a factory, he said, "Hey, Rick, there's a guy here. He needs some jeans. He's the same size as you. You know all those jeans that I gave you? Would you please, could I have a couple pairs of jeans to, back to give him?" I said, "Sure," not realizing my stack was gone. I went to my stack. Behold, poof, it disappeared. And so the next day at work, he says, did you bring those jeans in?" I said, "No." I says, "But I'll get you some." So I had to go down to Walmart or someplace, and I bought, I think it was two or three brand new pair of jeans that size and brought them in, and I gave them to that guy. And the fellow said, "Why didn't you give him the jeans that I gave you?" And I kind of hung my head, and I said, "Well, it's my wife's fault. I threw her under the bus." I'm just kidding. I really didn't do that. But here's the thing. When we get saved, we have a changed outlook. We have a changed outlook on things. I wanted to be a toolmaker. I wanted to make money. I wanted to have things. But when I got saved, things don't make any difference to me anymore. They really don't. I mean, it's always nice to have something new. But honestly, what's that going to be 10 years, 20 years from now? Doesn't make any difference. And then, so we find here he had a changed outlook. Verse number 18, notice what it says. He said in verse 17, "Brother Saul, and the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." And so here we find that he had a changed outlook. Saul arose, saw Saul once again. I believe that as a Christian, we ought to have a changed outlook in life. A changed outlook. And then I want you to notice verse 20. He had a changed message. "And when he had received meat and was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he," or Saul, "preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." He had a changed message. If you look at chapter number 9, he was seeking to have orders to carry men and women away in chains back to Jerusalem to be judged and be thrown in prison for preaching about Jesus Christ. We find also that before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, chapter 8, verse number 1, he was consenting to the death of Stephen. Saul of Tarsus was the one that gave the orders to stone Stephen for blasphemy. He persecuted the church, Acts chapter number 8. And in verse number 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison." Could you imagine if all of a sudden someone, armed guards, came to Grace Baptist Church and said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And you all stand up, and you should all stand up saying, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ." And they haul all of you out to jail because you believed and taught about Jesus Christ. That's what was happening in Jerusalem. Took them away and bound them, and that's what Saul was doing. But as soon as he got saved and as soon as he was strengthened, we find that he had a changed message. The message of his life was different. Before he consented to Stephen's death, before he persecuted the church, before he made havoc of the church, before he imprisoned church members. But now, verse number 20, he is preaching about Jesus Christ, the one that he was actually preaching against before. A changed message. What you talk about is the message of your life. I want to repeat that. What you talk about is the message of your life. The question is, where does Jesus Christ fit in? There are some individuals, when I talk to them, that all they talk about is secular things. The Lord never enters into their conversation. The Apostle Paul said later on, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Lord was the focus of his conversation. And then I want you to notice he had changed companions. He had changed companions. Look at verse number 19 through verse number 25. In verse number 19, after he received his sight and afterwards he preached Christ that he was the Son of God, he was with the disciples the last part of verse number 19. Verse number 21 says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched at the gates and watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. All of a sudden, his companions changed. No longer is he hanging out with those that tried to persecute the church and try to do away with the church. No longer is he hanging out with the religious crowd that was ungodly at the time. Now he's hanging out with the followers of Jesus Christ. Notice it says that the disciples let him down. We had a Bible study this last Thursday and Saturday morning about manning up and being a disciple. And we learned on Saturday and on Thursday that a disciple is one who follows. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to follow him. You ought to be his disciple. Amen? And so he had a changed message. Now he's preaching Jesus Christ. He had a changed companions. After the conversation, there is a different master that took place. After his conversion, there are now a new nature that is guiding him. Now there is different interests that Paul has, or Saul of Tarsus. And finally, I want you to notice this. Go over and leave the book of Acts, and I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy was written while Paul was in prison. It was actually written probably just weeks or possibly months before the Apostle Paul was executed for his faith. He was waiting for the executioner to come into his prison cell, take him out, and history records that they took him to the chopping block and took his head from his shoulders. Why? The only crime he committed was that of preaching the gospel. That was it. But Saul was a changed man. He had a changed heart, he had a changed standing, he had a changed outlook, he had a changed message, he had changed friends or companions, but also he had a changed destiny. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your destiny changes forever. And it says in 2 Timothy 1, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed. For I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Saul, or now we find the Apostle Paul, he knew who he put his faith and trust in. And because of that, he said, I know I'm going to heaven. Look over at chapter 4. Look at verse number 6 through 8. He said in verse 6 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Some people believe this might have been written the day or two before he was executed. Word got to him and said, "You know what, Paul? They're ready to come and take your head from your shoulders." And he penned these last words, "For I'm now ready to be offered." That word "offered" there has the idea of being sacrificed. "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see, he had a changed destiny. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a change that takes place. And one day, this old body that gets sick and weary, he's going to change it. "Shall change my vile body," Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 21, "and make it like unto his glorious body." Listen, we're going to be changed one day, completely and forever. That all starts with one thing: accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Saul was a changed man. On October 30th, 1978, when I walked the aisle at a revival meeting, God changed my life. You remember when God changed you? Say, "Well, preacher, I remember praying a prayer." Well, has any change took place? Has God birthed you into his family? Has he molded you and made you after his image? Listen, if there's no change that's taking place, you better check out your salvation. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Those that claim as the Lord as their Savior, if they're really genuine, change has taken place. And will continue to take place until he calls you to heaven. He's constantly changing us and pruning us and helping us to grow. Where's the change at today? Now, maybe you've only been saved for a week or two. Probably not a whole lot of change has taken place yet, but you know what? God's going to continue to work on you. Listen, let God have his way in your life. Let him mold you and make you into his image. Do like Saul did. When he got saved, he was obedient to the Lord. He went forward and he was baptized before all of those people, which was a signification: I've had a change of heart, and now I've got a change of direction. Listen, if you're saved and not baptized, you ought to submit to baptism. It's a part of a change. It's a part of being obedient. And then our outlook and our message and our companion should change. And one day, the trumpet's going to sound and he's going to change our location for all of eternity. Praise God, amen. I'm looking forward to that. Saul was a changed man. Have you been changed? Has Jesus Christ changed you? Or are you still living in the bondage of sin? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye.